Believe it's been so long since we've last recorded.
It has been quite a while.
Like, almost a year.
I can see that. I can see that. I feel like we did do a horror movie for our last movie, so I want to say it's been a little longer.
I want to say we definitely stopped around time of the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the strike started and everybody was like, okay, in solidarity, we are also striking. And then we were gonna come back when the strike ended, but life got really in the way.
Mm-hmm. Did we?
Yeah.
So the last movie that I have that I think we recorded, I don't know if we're saving it, is Dirty Dancing.
I don't even think I ever posted it.
Okay. Well, something to look forward to.
No, maybe I did post it. I don't remember. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. If it's posted, go listen to it, because it's great. I feel like we definitely posted that.
I know one we didn't post.
Oh! You know what? The last one we recorded was Mamma Mia, which that's we actually one. Didn't post.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
I want to re-talk about Mamma Mia. I just want to redo the whole thing. Let's do it. I recently got a few friends to that. Another friend of ours, basically, like, two guy friends just sat them down. And they're like, oh, we should watch a movie. And she was like, Mamma Mia. And so they sat down and watched Mamma Mia. Liked it enough to immediately watch the second one right after. So it's just funny. Just thinking about my tiny little friend. And then, like, two random dudes. Okay, they're not random dudes, I've known them forever. But just, like, two guys being like, Mamma Mia! Like, all excited. Like, literally, they liked the first one. They were like, oh, wait, there's a second one? No way, we have to watch it. And so now, like, every time we go out and, like, any of the songs for Mamma Mia comes on, they all get, like, super excited. And it's just honestly precious.
Mm-hmm.
As they should, because Mamma Mia slaps. I know you don't like it.
Yeah, slight spoiler. I don't like it. I don't. I'm like one of like zero people.
Negative one. It's like the epitome of just like delusion and happiness and a great time.
I absolutely love the idea of the movie and the plot. I don't like the execution of it. I don't like the acting, and I think the singing could have been way better compared to the original song, like the original singers, ABBA.
There's like, oh my gosh, I think there's like an interview or something where why am I blanking on his name, the British dad.
Yeah. Was that Hugh Grant?
No, the other British rom-com actor. Colin Firth. Okay, I wasn't too far off. Anyway. There's this, like, interview with Colin Firth, and it's, like, a late-night host or something, and he's, like, asking him, he's like, okay, so, like, if you were to die and you, like, went to heaven, like, what would you want your, like, first words from, like, God to be? And he was like, I actually think you did quite well in Mamma Mia.
I think I've seen that.
He just got flamed for that, his acting in that movie. It's just so funny.
I think the acting could be way better considering who the actors are.
Oh, 100%.
But I mean, I wouldn't flame any of them for it.
I mean, he got freaking roasted. It's almost like they acted bad on purpose. It's camp. I like it.
Yeah. No, we'll see. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, I understand it's supposed to be camp. And so that's why I kind of, like it all. Like it as a concept. But just watching them do it, I don't know. I think they either didn't go campy enough, or they just, I don't know. I don't know. There's just something about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, speaking of chick flicks, as our first as our first episode back on the airwaves as Femme Noir podcast, we're gonna be talking about them. So instead of talking
Yes.
about a specific film, we're just gonna talk about chick flicks and rom-coms in general, because chick flick is a stupid term in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, to be honest. But
I
we'll
hate to
get
be that
into that.
person. I hate to be that person. I'm gonna interject real quick. Oh God. This is actually, just saying that is gonna make this a lot worse. I actually like the term chick flick.
I don't like it when men use it. If we're reclaiming it, I'm down. But
Okay, first of all, yes, I agree we should reclaim it.
just gonna
Specifically,
get right
okay,
into it.
yeah,
Let's go.
we are. Okay, so specifically, I will admit, the reason that I like it probably isn't for any like logical reason. It is pure sentimentality.
Okay.
And it's because when I take my dad to go to the movies, his absolute favorite part of the movie is the trailers. And every trailer he'll say chick flick, guy flick. And it doesn't matter. Like, if we're
Just based on
there,
like the marketing of it.
yeah.
I love that.
And because, like,
I do that too.
most of the trailers are kind of like g going to be similar to whatever genre you're watching. But sometimes it's not. And then, and so, like, that's like, he loves just like separating the two. And even if we're watching an action movie and they're all guy flick trailers. He just like it's like once the trailer ends and he leans over and he's like, "Oh, that's a guy flick." I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, I know."
Oh my God, that's so precious in a weird way. I don't know why.
Right? Like, so, like no logical reason, just pure sentimentality. But that is why I do
For
like
that reason
chick flick.
alone, I will give it to you. Before we go any farther, I am gonna introduce us. I'm Serena,
And I'm Whitney.
and we are Femme Noir, which is a podcast that talks about films and movies and everything that is related to it, through the perspective of women and people of color on screen and their representation. And so, yeah, as we said earlier, we're talking about chick flicks slash rom-coms because technically those are two different things. If you're talking about movie conventions and like, you know, plot structure, beat structure, stuff like that.
Marketing.
Especially marketing. So, yeah, I guess that's. It's mostly in terms of the fact that like it's kind of Valentine's Day. It's the month of Valentine's, you know? So we're gonna talk about we're gonna do like a random, you know, romantic-y, cute, like couple-y movie, probably. But instead, you know, the Oscars happened, or the Oscar nominations happened, and all of that stuff with Barbie went down, and we were like, you know what, maybe we should just talk about there's like a whole intersection of just like the Academy, Oscars, movies marketed towards women, movies that are marketed towards women that do really well, and also them just not being taken very seriously, and how that kind of finds its way into like our culture as a whole, especially with a lot of the like white protagonists of the majority of rom-coms and how that was kind of a thing. And now, like, rom-coms don't really happen as much anymore. Like, they've kind of died off. I know there's, like, a couple recent ones that are coming back and kind of, like, I don't know. The term I've been seeing is they're trying to revive the rom-com. So yeah, we just thought, like, this is a really interesting time in the world right now, especially with both of us having seen Barbie when it came out, not being able to talk it on the podcast because of the strike in life, and now
Mostly the
it
strike.
being nominated
Support
for.
unions.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, and then the fact that it's still technically recent news when this is coming out. And then just how it also has to do with womanhood and girlhood, and that's like our whole thing. So let's get into it.
All right. I want to start off with a show that a lot of people, especially like a lot of feminists, tend to look down on. And it is currently running. It's got a spin-off that it's got a couple spin-offs that do really well. But the one that is currently running is The Bachelor. And a lot of people watch that show and they think that it sets back feminism, that the women who go on the show are desperate, that they kind of like play into all the stereotypes that guys try to like put onto women and that we're trying to break out of. And I think anyone who comes away with that isn't watching the
Watching.
actual show. Yeah. Because especially right now, within the past couple years, really, the women are like, they're getting together and they're supporting each other. Because a lot of the contestants on all of the shows have come out and said that filming it is really detrimental to your health,
Oh.
your and especially your mental health, and that the
As
show.
it is with a lot of reality television.
Well, what the Bachelor franchise typically does is they keep them bored. They're not allowed to bring in any books. I don't know if they're allowed to bring in a journal, but they used to not even be allowed to bring in a journal. I think they might have changed that. But they keep them bored, they keep them drunk,
Yeah.
and then they keep the pressure high, so
Oh,
that
yeah.
you have all these big personalities bouncing off each other and causing drama. Because that's what they want. It's a reality TV show. And drama sells. And then, when it does come out and you get like the tattletale or the villain of the season talking to the guy kind of like gets to come in and be like the big strong hero and rescue whoever is being bullied or taken advantage of or whatever, right? But a lot of the women are seeing this now and they're coming out and they're talking about how toxic kind of like behind the scenes everything is. And now, when they're filming, they're really banding together and supporting each other. And you're always still going to have drama because the producers are
Yeah.
going to find a
Producers
way.
are, yeah.
But a lot of the women and men are banding together and supporting each other during filming and after filming. And when they come out and they share their experiences, they're helping a lot of other people who have been in toxic situations, whether it be in a relationship or in like a really high pressure situation where they went like on a really bad date and they needed to get out of it. And people are now coming together to share their stories on social media and just talking in general about these experiences and how things can go next time should they find themselves in a similar situation, like, providing resources. And really, it is not like when you see everything that isn't on camera, it's a lot better than just kind of like the mindless reality TV show that you expect it to be.
That's yeah, reality television, I'm not gonna lie, I do not enjoy watching it. I did work on one. I worked on the Ultimatum, the second season, which is, yes, the lesbian season. And even just having worked on that, I'm like, jeez, like, I can't, like, an hour, like, filming, production, like, it was probably, like, really good in comparison to most of it, but, like, absolutely lots of alcohol, lack of sleep, absolutely, completely, like, isolated from like everybody. They want all of your like real reactions on camera, And our producers were better at this, I would say, and not being as like toxic or like forcing situations. But I've totally read about like other shows, like Love Island and The Bachelor, where like the producers will literally like say something to like a person and be like, "Oh, so and so said this about you," just to like start drama, just so that later on when they're filming, it can happen. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. Or they'll be like, "Oh, you should pick a fight with this person," or "You should talk to them about this." And it's like, that's so manipulative. Like, oh my gosh.
There was, I forget who the bachelorette was, but on one of the bachelorette seasons, all the men were basically like they unionized during filming, and like they showed it during the season, but they all like all came together and like went up to the bachelorette and just said, "Hey, we can't do this anymore. Something needs to change." And then that like allowed the bachelorette to like make a couple changes, but
People love to hate it, you know? And like, rightfully so, I would say. But there are some people who hate it for not a good reason, and that reason being specifically because they think it's like a girly thing to watch. And they're like, "I don't watch The Bachelor because a bunch of other girls watch The Bachelor." And
I'm not
then
like
there's
other
also like,
girls.
yeah, and then there's also the guys who are like, "That's like a chick show." It's like, okay. But like, if you had the chance to go on The Bachelorette, would you? Probably.
Well, especially because like so many men are just like, "Oh, I'm the best. Of course I'll win. Of course I'm gonna get her."
Men really be thinking, they're crazy.
They are.
Men really be thinking
The
they
audacity.
just deserve shit like this. And then you put them all in the same room and they're like, "What? What do you mean you think she's good for you? She's better for me, I think." I don't know. That's my impression of a man. No offense to any men out there. I mean, take offense if you want. I don't care. Whatever. But yeah, a lot of people don't like The Bachelor or even things like reality romance television because they still deem it as like something that only women like watch or are marketed towards women. It's definitely marketed towards women, but they definitely like kind of they like facilitate the culture of just it being something for women when literally almost all of them have at least half men on the shows, which is crazy to me that people are like, "No, it's a girl thing," or like, "It's only something that guys can watch with their girlfriends or their wives."
Dude, I know more men who like these shows than women. Like, hands down. Because,
They'll be
like,
like,
so
"Oh,
many
my
of them.
girlfriend made me watch this, or my sister made me watch this, my mom made me watch this." Like, they wouldn't have watched it otherwise, but they love it.
Exactly. Well, no. And then most of the time, once they, for whatever reason, if they break up with a girlfriend or if their sister or mom, if they move out from
They keep
where,
watching,
like, living,
right?
they keep watching. They keep watching. Or if I'm like telling another girl about the show, like what's happening, if we're like recapping and, going over what's happening, the amount of men who come over and are like, "Wait, tell me more." It's
Insert
ridiculous. The
themselves.
men
That's so
love it
funny.
so
It's
much
like you
more than
guys
the
are
women.
allowed to like things, you know? You don't have to use us as an excuse.
No, not at all.
But that's like exactly what we're talking about right now, too, is like this whole genre of things that are just marketed towards women, or even in relation, the chick flick, as she said earlier, like she kind of likes the term just for sentimentality reasons, but yeah, there's like literally a whole genre of movies just called chick flick, and the majority of them are rom-coms. The ones that aren't rom-coms are just comedies
I
with
have a
women in them.
question. I have a question because I actually wrote this down in my notes. And I'm sure a 5 second Google search will give me answers, but are there any movies that are just like strictly romance, or are they all rom-coms?
In chick flicks, like the category,
Like
or
in general, in
just like in
general.
general, there's definitely just romance movies. A lot of times they are, this is literally so on topic, I love this. I was born for this. No, like there's literally like movies that are considered romance movies, like very great romantic movie that are considered like great films, like the one with Ethan Hawke in it. like Before Sunrise, and it's like a trilogy. People are like obsessed with that movie, and it's literally a romance between two people in the trilogy. It's literally like one day of their life, and then they make a pact to like come back and see each other again later. And I'm just like, that's so dumb. But people are like, that's a wonderful movie. It's like genius, blah, blah, blah. There's like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is technically a romance movie, even though it's a little trippy.
Yeah,
Still a romance movie.
I just remembered one about time.
Oh, that one's great.
That is
But that
my
one, people consider that to be a rom-com, which I actually disagree with because it doesn't follow the structures of rom-com. Like, it does not have the beat of rom-com.
No, I when I want
Same
to
with
cry, I when I that's my movie. If I
that
want
movie.
to
It's such a
ugly
good
sob,
movie.
if I want to ugly sob, like because I just have like so many feelings built up, right? And I need to let them out. That's the movie I watch.
No, that movie's literally so good. Like, so
I
good.
love that movie.
But yeah, like, because I was trying to look up movies that, like, are recent rom-coms, and I was like, I couldn't really find any because after, like, the 2000s, we kind of, like, the only rom-coms you can find are literally holiday movies. If you're looking at it strictly through the, like, construction of, like, the plot and, like, the genre, like beats and stuff. It's basically just people just now consider those to be Hallmark movies.
There is a small handful.
There's a few,
There's
like Lost City was great.
yeah, so there's Lost City. It is a couple years at this point, but Amy Schumer had that one. That
Sorry.
was yeah, I
I
know.
don't like
It
her very much. I don't know why.
wasn't that great of a movie. It was fairly forgettable. But that was a rom-com, and then I
You know
think it
what? What's
was
her face
Rebel
had one?
Wilson, where she hits her
Oh,
head.
yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it romantic or something?
I don't know.
Where it also kind of makes fun of the whole rom-com genre.
Yes. Yeah.
I do remember that one because it also had Adam Devine, Divine.
I think
I don't know how you
so.
say his name. But yeah. Like, I would say Pitch Perfect is a rom-com. I would say that follows the beats.
Oh. Interesting. You're not wrong.
It has the plot beats. It has the big gesture at the end. It has their like little turmoil for like, will they, won't they? It does have like the initial spark attraction. Like,
You
it has
are
like a meet cute.
100% right. I
Even though it's definitely more about the girls, but it does have that in it. It has
because
rom-com elements.
yeah, you're right. I always kind of like filed it under certainly comedy musical, coming of age. I would have said
That's a good, yeah.
before rom-com.
Yeah. Well, I think it has a lot more to do with rom-com too, because he makes her watch all these like movies, and then they like have their little movie moment, like rom-com movie. It's cute. I am definitely not saying that The Breakfast Club is a rom-com. It absolutely is not. There are no romantic comedy beats in that at all, but yeah, like I would say, like the most recent ones I could find, I didn't actually consider it to be like, or okay, rephrase. The most recent movies that I found that people liked and considered to be rom-coms, I didn't think were actually rom-coms. Like one of them was Crazy Rich Asians, and I was like, that's not a rom-com. Like they have their like relationship wise, they have their like little hiccups and stuff. I was like, but literally they're getting married already. Like the movie starts with their relationship already being rock solid. They are getting married. It's literally like nothing between her and the guy at all. All of the conflict is between her and other people.
That's true.
So I wouldn't consider it to be a rom-com.
There is, I haven't seen it. My mom and I really wanted to go see it together. But I think the last rom-com, like the true rom-com that I can remember, that came out in theaters, was big, super hyped, was Marry Me with Owen Wilson and Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez, yes. Yeah, I do remember. I didn't watch that one.
I still really want to see it. And I keep saying I'm going to see it, but you know,
the list. I did listen to a podcast episode from Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood, where they reviewed that movie because.
Was it good?
I don't think they said it was good. I mean, they were kind of just like. It was basically like one of those where it's like, which one are you going to do? Are you going to do the rom-com? Or are you going to do like the modern like thing, but you didn't do one well enough for it to really be good kind of a thing? Mm-hmm. That, and they were kind of like, the motivation's kind of weird. But like character-wise, they're like, okay, so, because basically the whole plot, or like the point, they have like that big meet cute. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this meet cute later because it is a very big thing. That wasn't really popularized, which is hilarious that it wasn't popularized until after this movie, and then it's, like, now just known for, like, a rom-com thing. Especially because this lady actually really didn't like rom-coms, which is why she made this movie. But yeah, like, it has the meet cute of him being in the audience, be like, marry me, and she's like, okay. And they literally get married.
He's, like, holding his friend's sign or something, but yeah.
Yeah, like, he's not even his sign, he's just, like, a regular dude. And, like, the whole conflict, I think, according to their review, is that, like, she's famous, and he's like, I'm not famous. Yeah. It's kind of like a Notting Hill situation.
Oh, there was another one on Hulu that was actually pretty good. The Valet.
I don't watch that one either, but you did just remind me of one that I watched with my brother. My brother actually really liked it. And I liked it. Mm-hmm. And we both were like, wait, why was that actually a good movie? And it's, like, queer. Because it's basically, like, this guy, he's like, I think I'm gay, but I'm not sure. So he, like, tries to date this girl, and the girl's like, okay, I'll date you. And they, like, date. It's on Netflix. I'm blanking on the name of the movie. But they, like, date. And it's basically, like, both of them like each other purely for their, like, companionship and how they, like, live life. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, well, like, maybe we should, I don't know, like, they literally have, like, conversations about how they're like, we don't have sex, but can we call this a relationship if we're not having sex? Like, what is our relationship if sex isn't, like, involved, but we're still, like, intimate, like, romantically? And so they're literally like, I don't understand if we have an actual, like, romantic relationship. And at the end they basically said, like, yeah, we have a romantic relationship, we are an actual couple, regardless of whether or not we have sex. So just really interesting, like, dynamics. It's also really well written, and, like, it's got that really, like, deadpan humor. It's really cute. I'll remember the name of it, and I will put it in the comments, I swear. Description. I'll put it in the description.
Cat person. It's on Hulu, but they have an asexual character in there, and they come out and he says, I'm asexual, this is what it means to me. But
represent.
Yeah, I actually want you to watch that. I think you would really enjoy it.
Okay.
2023. Okay. But yeah, you should watch it. The quick synopsis is, a college student who works at a movie theater goes on an awkward date with an older man who may be a murderer.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds definitely like a movie I'd watch.
But directed, yeah, by a woman, so if we want, you could even do it.
Wonderful.
On it. Yeah.
Wonderful. But yeah, it's really interesting. Like, a lot of people will even claim that, like, the rom-com genre's kind of died. Mm-hmm. It's not really, like, because it used to be that rom-coms, especially in, like, the, like, 2000s, like, up till 2000, a little post-2010s, before the superhero rise, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That it was, like, they were the highest grossing movies in the box office.
Because women spend money.
Like, consistently.
Money. Yeah.
And, like, now they just don't really, like, there aren't anymore. And then streaming happens. Now, like, the superhero thing's dead. I don't really know what our trend is right now, but we're kind of, it's definitely, like, a absurdist / postmodern, like, look at life. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense considering the fact that the world sucks right now.
That's cat person. Everything you just said is cat person.
It's, like everything everywhere all at once. Even Barbie, like, you've got, like, it's pretty much the whole, like, thing of, like, well, we live in a society which sucks. We're horrible people at the core. We create these horrible systems in which none of us enjoy living life, but maybe there's little things that we can have and appreciate, you know? I like this little life. I think I like this little life. But yeah, it is interesting now that the only rom-coms that really come out that like get any like notification even is literally just Hallmark movies. To the point where like if you were to ask somebody that's like my brother or sister and you said rom-com, they probably, well, actually my brother and sister are quite cultured because I force them to watch a lot of movies, so they probably wouldn't say this. But if I were to ask like their friends or something, be like, oh, name a rom-com, they probably would be like, what? Like, what is that? They would either ask me what it is, and if I described it to them, like, oh, it's a movie that has like a couple, and you know, like they meet, and then something happens, and it's pretty much a whole like, will they, won't they? And then eventually, towards the end, they like realize they're in love, and there's like a big gesture from one side to the other person, and then they like, you know, happily ever after. They'd be like, oh, that's a Hallmark movie. That's a Christmas movie. Like, we don't really watch those outside of that anymore.
Well, in the movies, the rom-coms that do get released are pretty much treated like Hallmark movies, right?
Yeah,
They
they're
don't
basically
really,
Hallmark movies.
they don't get the big theatrical release. And when they do, it's pretty much January, February, which is a dead zone for all movies. It's like a dumping ground for movies that they don't expect to do well. Very rarely do they get summer releases, a blockbuster release. I think Lost City might have, but that was because they were showing it more as an adventure comedy than a rom-com.
Yeah, but it's a good one. I really like that one
That is a
because
good
that
one.
one does pretty much everything that, like, literally when I was watching that movie, when I finished it, I thought to myself, that really reminded me of how I felt when I watched The Proposal.
Oh, the proposal. That's a
Right?
good
And I was
one.
like, that was like maybe one of the last really good rom-coms that we got. Like
I'm
popular
assuming that was
ones.
after the holiday, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
'Cause The Holiday is Nancy Meyers, which is a little bit earlier to that, like earlier mid 2000s, like 2010. It's before 2010 for sure. 'Cause I remember the first time I ever saw it, I thought Jack
Jackpot.
Black's name was Blackjack. Because I had literally just learned how to play the game Blackjack.
Nice.
And there was a typhoon, so I was in Japan. So I was like not even in fifth grade yet. And we were playing Blackjack and watching Jack Black.
I think I've mentioned this before. I know I mentioned it before, but I only like Jack Black in three films. The Holiday, School of Rock, and Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, he's.
I don't like any of his other work.
I feel like there's another one that I've seen him in that I would be like, oh, you would like him in this one, considering that I also like him in those.
Okay.
I just can't remember which one it is.
I mean, to
I'll
be
remember
fair,
later.
I don't watch his, a lot of his stuff because like the stuff that I have seen, I typically don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, but like that was like 2000, before 2010 or maybe 2010, like the year. I would say like 2009 to 2010 was probably when that movie came out. And Nancy Meyers was big basically right after like Nora Ephron, and a lot of inspiration from Nora Ephron. And Nora Ephron, people don't realize, is also kind of like, she is actually pivotal for having the movie Sleepless in Seattle, which basically popularized the whole idea of a meet cute. Which is funny because in The Holiday, that's like a big thing that they talk about.
That's the only reason I knew what a meet cute was.
Yeah, because like Kate Winslet meets the screenwriter guy who's like lost on his way trying to find something, which is such a cute little dynamic. And he's like, oh, what a great meet cute. And he explains what a meet cute is, which is also funny because Nora Ephron in Sleepless in Seattle, there's literally a line where they're talking about, like, oh, it's more likely that you're gonna be killed by a terrorist than get married for, like, people these days. Like, when they're talking about, like, generational, like, the differences between generations and getting married and what it's like trying to, like, find love. And Nora Ephron's pretty cynical, I would say, which is why she's so great at writing these freaking rom-coms. Every single one of them a hit. But then in freaking The Holiday, there's that scene where Cameron Diaz is ranting because she just broke up with that dude that cheated on her and punched him. And she goes, like, do you know that, like, women after the age of 30, like, we show stress more? And then I think she literally says something about the terrorism, like, and getting married thing.
I think so. It's been a while, but I think so, yeah.
But it's almost like a line for line, which is crazy to me. Anyway. But yeah, so, like, Nora Ephron basically, like, made the meet cute, like, a whole thing. Because Sleepless in Seattle is pretty much one of the first movies to really kind of subvert. Well, maybe not, like, the first, but one of the bigger. No, it might be one of the more closer to one of the first and definitely recognized movies to kind of subvert, like, rom-com tropes while still making a rom-com. But also making it in a way in which, like, yes, the rom-com happens, but it's literally the whole movie is building up to the meet cute of the couple. Like, it's just the first part of the thing, because these guys never meet until the end of the movie, which is on the building on
Have I
Valentine's Day.
seen Sleepless in Seattle?
Have you not seen Sleepless in Seattle?
I thought I had. I might
With
not
Tom Hanks,
have.
Meg Ryan.
That's like half of the rom-coms right there. They're in a
That's
lot of
two.
them.
We were in two.
Are you
Together.
sure? Well, together.
Yeah. Yes, they're both Nora Ephron movies. Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail.
I don't know if I've seen Sleepless in Seattle.
Have you seen An Affair to Remember?
I know I have seen it. I can't remember a single thing about it. I had to
Oh, well,
watch
it's
that for
basically what
class.
they do, because this movie is practically a response to, like, An Affair to Remember, which is kind of like one of the great rom-coms of, like, the like, a little bit after like Audrey Hepburn was really big. Definitely after she did movies in color. But yeah, like, that was, like, a really big one. People were like, oh my gosh, I love this movie, it's so cute, love the romance, blah blah blah. Nora Ephron was like, this is, like, super unrealistic. I actually have some notes because I was like, this lady actually kind of went off. I got them from these articles, which I will also link in our description. But basically, her whole thing was that she wanted to make a movie that screws with your brain about love, and was like, but if we do a good job, then this movie will become that movie that screws up people's brains about love, because it's, like, an unrealistic expectation that, like, you would find love in the way that people do in the movies. But at the same time, there's also no reason why they shouldn't feel in love like that, and, like, people shouldn't have a love that feels important and magical. And so, like, literally with the whole, like, if we go over the conventions of a rom-com, which we probably should do, so that people understand exactly, like, what we're talking about. The convention of rom-com has very specific plot beats. And it's basically, like, you have the meet cute. You have two people leading the film that are fairly likable, just generally.
But
They get
flawed
into
because they have to
some,
change.
yeah, they have to change somehow. They've got, like, some weird situation that they're kind of in that they need help with, either connected to the meet cute or happening immediately after the meet cute. There's almost always, like, a sidekick character, like the best friend or whatever. And then, or, like, the other couple, you know, that you've got, that's, like, their, like, advice person. And then There's almost always like a montage. That's the
gay best friend.
Ugh.
Yeah.
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 There's almost always a montage. Love yeah. a good montage. A fun one, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. With the upbeat, preppy music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I lied. I just thought of another rom-com that actually was really good. I will say it after this. There is the relationship is in jeopardy. Oh, no. They probably go their separate ways. One of them has the light bulb moment of, what am I doing with my life? This is the person for me. And then there's the big gesture and, you know, the big line at the end. So, yeah, like, that's pretty much it. And then they just have, like, a happy ending. And sometimes that's implied, but, yeah. That's pretty much, like, those are the structural beats of a rom-com. Mm-hmm. Which is why when Sleepless in Seattle came out, they were like, okay, this is crazy because they never technically have their meet cute until the very beginning or the very end of the movie. The way that they end up doing it is they're both basically just super developed characters talking about life and love and their relationship to it before they actually end up meeting. So yeah, it's kind of funny that this is one of the movies that's like known for being a rom-com, even though it technically isn't even one. Like, but that's okay because the other ones kind of are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely You've Got Mail.
Yes.
And definitely When Harry Met Sally.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Everything you were saying sparked a memory. Well, not really a memory, sparked a thought. And I was going to say that there's currently a rom-com out.
In theaters.
But according
Anyone
to...
Anyone but you. Anyone oh, but
that's
you.
That's still in theaters?
I don't know. It probably just finished its theatrical run, but it came out, like, recently.
Okay,
with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, the guy that looks like a beaver.
Yeah, I hate his face. Not anything about him. Specifically his smile.
Looks, it's because his mouth is so small.
It's so punchable. It looks so punchable.
Have you like seen those memes where they're like, I want to stick a quarter in his mouth?
I haven't. I saw him in Top Gun 2. As soon as he came on, I'm just like, I want to punch him. He looks like he needs to be punched.
No, literally every time. I'm just like, I despise the guy for nothing of his doing except for how he looks.
Exactly. I feel so
like
bad.
Just his face. Me too. I'm like, I want to like the guy. He seems like he would be a nice guy. I don't know. Maybe that is, like, making it worse for him.
Mm-hmm.
He just gives off, like, I'm a nice guy, but, like, insult vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. the movie I was talking about, though, which, according to IMDb, is not a rom-com. It's a horror... No, wait. Hold on. Comedy, horror, romance. So there is another one currently in theaters. Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh, I want to see that, dude. Diablo Cody. Person.
Yeah, she wrote They're Jennifer's back, Body. Baby.
Yes. Dude, no, we have to watch that and we have to review it. Like, down. Absolutely.
100% down.
Oh, the movie I was thinking of earlier was actually more recent and is definitely one of the better rom-coms that we left off with before, you know, they died. Michael B. Jordan, Zac Efron, and the other guy in Top Gun, Rooster.
Yes, yeah.
Can't remember his name. Rooster. That awkward moment.
I haven't heard of it.
What? No, that one's actually so good.
What's it on? Or was it a theme?
Probably anything.
Okay.
It definitely was, like, along the same time period as, like... Crazy Stupid Love, like Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have one that was just called Christmas, did they? I think it's called Boxing Day, which is funny.
Huh.
And it's not in any way related to Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve.
Huh. Was it about boxing?
No, like, Boxing Day, like, British.
No, yeah, no, I know what that is.
Holiday.
But if it's not related to
Oh, no, it's about the holiday, but it's like a
Okay.
British movie.
Gotcha.
I forgot about Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I like
Like,
that movie.
I did. It has maybe one of my favorite written comedy scenes in the history of film writing for me.
Ooh, which one?
Is a scene where Emma Stone is like sitting, is like introducing her family to her new boyfriend, who is Ryan Gosling, and the
Yeah.
mom's blindfolded because she's trying to hit a pinata, and he walks in, and Steve Carell gets pissed and starts like screaming at him in front of everyone, and then everyone's just like, "What in the crap is going on?" And then in the middle of that, the mom's new boyfriend comes in, and it's like Kevin Bacon,
Yeah.
and he's like, "Oh, hey," and he's like, "Don't even get," and they're like, "Don't." Don't worry about it. Like, just stay out of it. And then the neighbor girl who's in love with Steve Carell's character comes in, and her dad, barreling after her, goes and punches Steve Carell because he thinks that they're having some like weird affair, that he's a pedophile, and she's like, "No, dad, he doesn't even know." And like, it's so chaotic. And then the cops come, and they're all sitting there, like complete silence, like super embarrassing. And then the cop is like, "All right, you guys, next time, leave it in the family." And then, yeah, Ryan Gosling just goes, starts chuckling, and then they all just start cracking up. I
Yeah.
was like,
Yeah.
that is maybe one of the best, like, such a good scene, dude. Like, the build up to that scene with all the characters, the execution of that scene, and then, like, so good.
I will admit that is you're totally right. That is a great scene, and just like you said, the build up and the execution of the scene is fantastic and should be noted down in history.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, the writing is just so good. And they acted it perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't even remember why I brought that up. Oh, probably because I was just talking about, like, good rom-coms. Because that was,
Yeah.
like, later 2010s, you know? And even then, you can kind of start to see, like, I would say a lot of those don't follow the typical conventions. They're just. Because that was, like, right after The Notebook. Which I would say was probably the last one.
I hate the notebook.
I also hate The Notebook. I can't get through The Notebook.
It's so
Like, in one
boring.
sitting, I do not like that movie. But it does have all of the typical rom-com conventions.
My favorite part is the end when they die.
Yeah. But anyway. So yeah, we don't really have rom-coms anymore, which sucks,
Do you
but
think that's because we got burnt out? 'Cause like the 90s, early 2000s, that was 2 decades worth of like
yeah.
a majority of the movies that came out. And then right as they started dying out, we got lots and lots of Hallmark movies. And I
Did
think
we really?
I do not have any hard data on it. Just my gut feeling.
Oh.
But yeah.
I
But I
feel like a
feel.
lot of it probably has to do with streaming. The fact that, like,
Yeah.
you didn't go to movie theaters anymore.
Yeah.
And then, like, COVID. And probably also the fact that, like, well, definitely the superhero thing.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Like,
the superhero thing took off because they could sell toys. And they could get more money off of merchandise than they could off of the movie. And you can't do that with rom-coms.
and propaganda.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that there's literally like military contracts
Ooh.
that movies that mention any part of the military actually, like, they have to actually be approved message-wise by the
Yeah.
military if they're gonna mention the military.
Also, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, hold on, kind of jumping back slightly. So with rom-coms, you're pretty much selling the movie, right? You can't sell merchandise. And George Lucas proved with Star Wars how important merchandise rights are. And that's why you don't get a lot of girl TV shows, is because girls don't buy toys as much as boys do. So that's why you get a lot of boy TV shows and not a lot of girl TV shows. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. That thought, let me keep the thought. around the time that the superhero movies came out and it was big with Harry Potter 7 Part 2, people were realizing that you can get sneaky with money. And you can say, for example, let's use nice big round numbers. A movie costs $2 million to make, which insanely cheap, first of all. But we're going for easy numbers here. Let's say a movie cost, they say it costs $2 million to make. And they only got $1 million in revenue. So for them, the movie flopped. But what they can do is when you start adding up the totals, right? The actors cost this much. The equipment costs this much. Director costs this much. It equals like $1 million, right? So you're like, well, if you earn $1 million and it costs
basically made no money.
Where's this extra million coming from? And why did you say it cost $2 million to make when all these line items only cost $1 million?
Marketing.
The producers come in like, oh, well, it was marketing. We spent all that money on marketing. And I think that they can do that with superhero movies. I think they're able to have these big showy marketing campaigns, not really spend a whole bunch of money, and then say that the movie, they made it at a loss because now they're pocketing all that money.
Plus, those movies do really well overseas. Don't know why, but they do.
Yeah. Yeah. But and yeah, I mean, that's my conspiracy theory. Rom-coms die because they can't launder money.
That's funny. Another reason that I read in an article that also attributed was like the Me Too movement.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that is less actually
conspiracy theory. That's not funny. I don't know why I laughed that hard, but just the comparison of
yeah,
conspiracy superhero movies, money laundering, and I'm like,
or the very real thing.
The whole industry behind Hollywood that was just about sexually assaulting and harassing women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me Too movement. People came out and were like, okay, well, rom-coms are, like, really toxic. Only some of them are. Some of them aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes into when we were talking about The Menu, right? Where they had this very blatant, on-the-nose moral for the film, yeah. Right? And they straight out told you what it was. Which yeah. A lot of the rom-coms do. Like, they straight out tell you, like, hey, this is our moral. This is what we're talking about. But
yeah.
People are so focused on the negatives and just seeing, like, the shallow top coat of movies that they love to hate on it and say, like, oh, look at all these very specific bad parts. And they only take those parts as themselves and not in the context of what the movie is trying to say.
That is something that I kind of hate right now, is just, like, the lack of media literacy in general for people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this. And then I'm like, you guys are kind of stupid.
So many people are trying to use movies as escapism, right? That's where we're getting a lot of the shallow movies where you don't really have to think about it, right? You go in, you watch it. There's not really a moral to a lot of themes.
Yeah, like, one of the biggest critiques about Nope when it came out was that people didn't want to think.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy. It's a Jordan Peele movie. Just don't watch a Jordan Peele movie then.
Well, exactly. So you're getting, you know, these absurdist movies where you watch it, you don't have to think.
There's social commentary.
Theme, no moral, no commentary. And people come out and they like it. They're like, oh, I want more of that. So the studios are just like, all right, well, we've gotten our blueprint right here. Let's go off that.
That's what Netflix and Prime right now are getting really big off of.
Yeah.
Prime with the television show of the girl. It's based off that book. The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Oh.
And then before that, we had, like, To All the Boys I Hate Before or I Love Before. The spinoff for that one, EXO Kitty. Obviously, The Summer I Turned Pretty. And then there's basically, I forget what the name of it is, but on Prime, they basically have... It's literally like a country version of The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Is that the one with the blank boys? I forget the name of the boys. There's like three of them. I don't know. Wait, that might
Yeah, be they're all like brothers, maybe.
Yeah.
It's Amazon.
Okay.
It's a Prime one. But yeah, that one, like, those are doing incredibly well
Mm-hmm.
as like a streaming thing, and like they can just keep pumping them out and we'll
Yeah.
watch them. Emily in Paris.
Yeah.
Stupid ass show, literally not good at all. Can't stop watching it.
Well, and so they're also banking on, so that you do have the movie literate people, right? Who are seeing all these movies and they're like, this means nothing. You're saying nothing. You're just making content to make content. But they're hate watching these
Yeah, they're hate
films.
watching it.
And so that's what they're banking on.
Or
So
just me. I just watch them. I'm like, I enjoy them.
well, so I hate watched Velma on
Oh yeah, you
HBO on
did. I
Max,
actually
yeah.
liked that one though.
I didn't. Well, that's fair. We talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, I after that show, I like made a conscious decision where if I don't like something, I'm not gonna hate watch it. Mainly because A, it's a waste of my time when I could be watching stuff that I really like.
Yeah, and you're just giving money.
And I'm
It's like
giving
your own
money.
personal little strike.
Well, yeah, and I'm giving money to a show that I don't want more of. So it would be in my best interest to not give them the numbers so that they can cancel it.
Exactly. Watch shows that you want more of, like all of the queer ones or the ones that are starring and, claiming just regular storylines for people of color that they keep fucking canceling for no reason other than their excuses, not enough money, which is actually a lie if you
Our
look at
flag
the
needs depth,
numbers.
yeah.
If you look at the numbers of the fan base, they are completely lying. They're just fucking racist and homophobic, okay? I
Yeah.
said it.
No,
There's literal books written about how this is actually such a lie, and like monetarily, fiscally, it doesn't make any sense that they keep canceling these other than the fact that they want to maintain certain quote unquote morals as a company.
Are you still talking about Our Flag Means Death?
I'm talking about a lot of
That's fair.
things.
You're right.
Like, pretty much almost all of them.
Okay.
Like, Our Flag Means Death, there
Specifically
was
like
that
that
first
one.
kill,
I don't know that one.
that was like the lesbian vampire.
I do know that one. That one was good. Well,
It
it
was.
wasn't, I was, I don't, I'm
It was
not the
entertaining.
demographic, but yeah,
It
it
was
was
better than Emily
entertaining.
in Paris.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, I don't know. Anyway.
No, but Our Flag Means Death. They canceled it because Zaslav, David Zaslav, had insider trading and he lost a whole bunch of money. And I'm assuming that was their most expensive show. And so he's just like, yeah, we're canceling it because it's too expensive because he lost so much money and he's now being investigated for insider trading specifically because he canceled that show.
Wow.
Yeah.
As they should.
Yes, yeah.
There's something going on behind the scenes there because that was a good show. A League of Their Own, that show, that was so good, canceled after one season. Like, so many. But yeah, like, they'll say it's money reasons or something, and most of the time it's a lie. So yeah, I guess now that we've really gone in depth about how rom-coms have died, we can talk about the birth of rom-coms and my favorite genre of early 2000s slash late 90s rom-coms that are the subgenre of Shakespeare adaptations.
Yes.
Dude, okay, like obviously, I don't know why, but I feel like people always want to attribute the rom-com to like women or something, probably because it's marketed towards women, and we're like, dude, literally men have been writing rom-coms since forever. Barely any woman made it in film in general, and when they did, it wasn't for rom-coms, I'll tell you that.
No.
Like, Nora Ephron is maybe the only woman that actually was like, rom-coms are my genre, which is crazy because she did not actually like rom-coms. Nancy Meyers is another one, but even she often, technically, they're not rom-coms, they're just movies that feature older women. She's pretty much like been pigeonholed into like the older woman things that they market to your mom and her friends,
I'm
book
sorry.
clubs. To be honest, But I mean, that's her niche. She's killing it. And it they're pretty good movies, to be honest.
They're definitely entertaining.
But it's like, I don't know, the next time some guy tells you that rom-coms are girly shit, just be like, you know Shakespeare invented rom-com, right? Like, because he did. He invented the rom-com, and only men were allowed to play in his place. So,
That's
I don't
true.
know. I don't know. I'm just saying. Did we, in the early 2000s, take a bunch of Shakespeare's writing as women, flip it, and make it even better? Absolutely. Because you've got She's the Man, 10 Things I Hate About You, Clueless, you've
Anyone But
got.
You is based on Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh my gosh. Another one. Like, so good.
Yeah.
Why did we have so many good ones?
There's so many.
And 10 Things I Hate About You,
Ten
Clueless, and
things.
She's the Man,
Yeah.
those were all written by women.
Yep.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Not a romantic comedy, just a comedy. Often
Is that
considered a romantic comedy because it's made by the same, it's the same lady that did Clueless.
A Shakespeare adaptation?
No, it's not.
Oh,
Just a good
okay.
movie.
Okay.
But it literally gets pigeonholed into the romantic comedy section, even though it's literally just a straight up comedy. But because it's directed by a woman and written by a woman, most people just write it off and they're like, oh yeah, this is one of those rom-com movies. And I'm like, dude, the most famous people from those movies are men.
Yeah.
Like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High pretty much gave us the like stoner
When, well,
character.
when you think about it too, when you're casting a rom-com, I don't want to say any actress will do, because that's not true, but a lot of times they'll pick the biggest name male actor at the time because they want the women to go and see the male actor, right?
The way that they picked Glenn Powell for this movie is stupid. It's
Yeah.
like you've got Sydney Sweeney, which is like yeah, she's gorgeous. She's cool. Men are gonna go watch that movie just to see her in it. And then they chose Glenn Powell. Like, what? You almost actually hate women because nobody wants to go to that movie to see Glenn Powell.
No. I wonder if that was the casting for the guy, because then you've got the whole they men Hold on, let me put my words into a semblance of order. So he was big in Top Gun, right? Very manly
He
movie.
wasn't even the one that was the hot one.
It
The one
doesn't
people,
matter.
Miles Teller, that guy. That is also the guy in that movie, The Awkward Moment.
Glenn Powell, it
With
doesn't
Zac
matter. Glenn
Efron.
Powell played the cocky, oh, I'm trying to be better than him, right? He was the
He
rival.
did, but the
So
main
he
guy
was.
that people were thirsting after that made all the
The
freaking fan
women,
edits was Miles Teller.
the
That's
women
so
were
dumb.
thirsting after Miles. I think the men liked Glenn Powell.
I hate that man. Men are crazy. Why would they like Glenn Powell?
Because he's the manly man, right? It's the whole like that superhero thing, right? Where people are always saying like, oh, women in superhero movies, right, are so like fuck, what's the word? Overly
Masculine.
sexualized.
So that they don't seem too masculine.
No,
Anyway.
so women, right? Women in comic books and comic and superhero movies are overly sexualized, and women have a huge issue with that, understandably, for good reasons. And they're saying like, oh, men write this media, so they're just projecting their ideal women onto the books, onto the screen, right? But they don't do that with the men. And I'm just like, have you seen the superheroes? Like the Dorito
They
shaped
choose
body is not natural.
women that they're like, oh, this is our ideal, like, woman. This is how you would look at women. And then they choose men that they want to be.
Yes, exactly.
That no one actually likes.
Yeah, so
Except for the guys.
I think that's Glenn Powell. I think Glenn Powell is like that male fantasy of like this is who we want to be, like the cocky, surefire, surefire, playboy who knows what he's doing all the time and who looks so smug and happy. Meanwhile, all the women want to punch him because he looks like an idiot, and all the men are just like, I want to look like that.
I feel bad for the dude that saw Glen Powell and was like, I kind of want to be like him. Like, what? My guy, you need some help. What's going on? Sit
So
down, talk it
as much as I hated him in
out.
Top Gun 2, they picked a good actor for that because you're supposed to not like him because he's the
He does,
rival.
yeah, he does seem like a guy's guy. Jeez, that's so funny. That's like all these dudes being so weirded out by the fact that people find like Pete Davidson and like Timothée Chalamet and Miles Teller like
Andrew Garfield.
attractive. Yeah, Andrew Garfield. And they're like, why do you think that is? Because they're not just an image of toxic
Yeah,
masculinity.
they're not the male
Even though
fantasy.
like I don't know what they're like personally, I've never met them, but like they physically do not like to the eye embody toxic masculinity like Glenn Powell does. Like they don't look like the definition of toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
They're not the
exactly.
outward representation of toxic masculinity. Ah! Okay. I'm done. I think when we go back and listen to this podcast, we should do a drinking game and just drink every time we talk shit about Glenn Powell.
Oof, alcohol poisoning.
So funny. Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, even like with the casting like that, like even in a lot of rom-coms, the guys that they end up falling in love with are like half the time the good ones are like normal dudes. People literally like I've literally had dudes tell me like watching rom-coms, they're like, "Oh yeah, but like the guys are always so weird in rom-coms. Like, what kind of guy just likes to go and like read in the park? What kind of guy just like goes and like shops at the farmer's market for fun? These guys just sit there and they like look at art pieces and talk about the beauty of life." It's like you're making that sound like it's a bad thing.
Like, I'm not seeing the
We're like,
downside here.
yeah, and then literally like there's a whole other subsection of rom-com movies that are literally like, "I'm a playboy with a heart of gold," and it's literally like, "Yeah, I actually do enjoy doing all of these things, and for once in my life, I've actually decided that I'm gonna just like being alive instead of doing everything that people keep making me feel pressured to want to do."
Oh my
Once
God.
again, guys, y'all are
Oh my
allowed to
God.
like
You
things.
just described High School Musical.
Oh my God, I saw a crazy TikTok. Sorry, this is so crazy. I saw a TikTok that was explaining, it was like, they're like, being an older person watching High School Musical and looking back on it is weird because I'm just not realizing that Troy's dad was probably like Troy's age when he married Troy's mom, because he literally was gonna be like, he literally would have had to be like 19 to 22 to have had Troy at the age that that actor was. And he's like, if you look at it from that perspective, he's just looking at his son being like, literally, don't do the same thing that I did. You could literally go to college, get out of this town, like be a big, get paid for college, like to do basketball, all of the stuff, and you're just gonna throw it away from some girl who's afraid to sing. That you just met on New Year's. One time. One time. Anyway.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and the actor that plays the dad had reposted it and was reacting. He's like, yeah.
Nice.
I was like, all right, that's kind of funny. Back to the way that movies are marketed, LOL. Because now we've kind of got that, like, it's crazy that they're still marketed towards girls and women, even though they're trying to be like meta-feminist by being like, we're gonna reclaim girlhood, and girly things, like, but still only marketing it towards women. It's like a weird, like, we haven't gotten past the stage where we can just be women and exist. Obviously, we're not to that stage yet. Like, If that were true, Barbie would have, Greta Gerwig would have been nominated for Best Director. Greta Lee would have been nominated for Best Director.
We have to make an episode. We have to make an episode on Barbie. It's gonna be super late, but I have
There's just
thoughts.
thoughts. Because it's just like when that movie came out, I already was like, this is gonna be crazy. I remember asking people their thoughts because I was like, this is pretty good. I remember even sitting in the theater at some points being like, this is a little like basic feminism, but I've definitely had to explain like just basic first wave feminism like ideas to dudes. Like feminism that was literally like theory written in like Simone de Beauvoir, you know, like she's not a recent person. That is like old. Like she still used the term Negro, like old. She's French. I must preface, this was like World War II era.
Oh, really?
Simone de Beauvoir?
Okay. Fuck, I don't know history. Sure.
I'm fairly certain. I did read her book. I don't have it. I don't know why I turned to my bookshelf as if it's there. I can't see from here anyway. But yeah, like, and I remember one of the top criticisms, once again, wasn't really about anything to do with the movie itself. It was just the fact that they were like, oh, I feel like the feminism is just like basic feminism. Like, I didn't learn anything from it as like a woman or as a man who has been told what feminism is once in their life. And I was like, that's why you didn't like the movie. To me, I was like, that's kind of a dumb reason not to like the movie, because like if you look at it movie wise, like thematically, structurally, it's pretty cool. The writing's also pretty cool. Especially if it's like character studies. Awesome. But then to go from all the hype about Barbie, people being like, yes, be girly, it's so cute, you're Kenuff, it's Barbie land, like, hi Barbie, we're all pretty women, and pretty women can do things and be pretty and like girly things, but also still be completely functional and completely mentally capable and physically capable and do all of the things, and that was wonderful. So then, kind of like, just go back to like, you know, just a little bit like basic, regular life, I would say. Like, you know, movie hype and all is kind of over. No one's really talking about it that much anymore. Like, you know, we talk about the monologue and all the frustrations that women have, etc. Then for the Oscars to come, or Oscar nominations to come around. And like, honestly, I was like, I'm not even surprised. I was more surprised at the reactions to it. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, that in itself is something that should be studied. It's just the reactions to Barbie. Like Margot Robbie not being nominated, Greta Gerwig not being nominated. But then Ryan Gosling being nominated for his role as Ken. And I was like, all right, that's not surprising considering it's the Academy. I don't have a lot of faith in the Academy in general.
Fuck those
I'm
guys.
surprised when they do anything good. I was surprised they actually gave Lily Gladstone her nod. I was surprised that they actually gave Past Lives a nod, like at all. Now, that movie's phenomenal. Like, phenomenal. Like, I might. I think I should move to this picture, to be honest. But yeah, like, why she didn't get nominated for whatever, it's fine. But yeah, for that to happen, and then for the backlash to immediately be women being like, LOL, this is crazy. Of course this would happen. The Academy doesn't do this. To then be followed up with critics, mainly men, being like, literally stop complaining about this, about Barbie, like, what made it Oscar nominee, like, what made you think it was Oscar worthy? What made you think anything was going to be like nominated, blah blah blah. Like, I absolutely hate Barbie. Just for them to be like, Just like you had something that you didn't like about Barbie, probably the fact that it was feminist and you didn't like that people called you out on things. You probably saw yourself in a lot of the Kens and you were just like, I don't like that. Then to wait for like one specific instance to be like, this is my moment, I can trash on Barbie because it didn't get nominated.
I'm liking my algorithm. I didn't see any of the haters.
No, but then specifically the fact that I absolutely hate this is that they only brought up, and I'm talking about these white men that write articles and get like money for writing these articles. They're paid to write these articles. They have opinions that people apparently look up to, and they look to these people for their thoughts and morals and blah. They only brought up the woman of color that won nominations in order to spite Barbie supporters.
Ew.
Which I was like, that itself, that's like a whole, like, wow. You really won in the fucking, like, political department there if you want to talk about the way that optics look. Because if you're looking strictly at someone that wants to talk about Barbie in a positive light, they are now going to be immediately brought down a peg because now all they can talk about is white feminism. And specifically, like, white woman tears, end quote. Because you, as a white man, decided that you didn't like Barbie and your pick, you were going to be like, okay, well, I mean, this is just overshadowing this other nomination that should have been a lot more recognized. And it's like, dude, you wouldn't have brought up that movie if people weren't mad about Barbie. You wouldn't have talked about that nomination at all if you couldn't use it as a comeback to people that are mad about Barbie. Like, this one man literally quoted a tweet from some other lady, and I sent this one to you, where it was
Yeah, I
literally
was just about
like,
to say.
I don't think Barbie was Oscar worthy, or like that Barbie as a character was something that was like acted, which is completely wrong because, like, I'm not gonna lie. Literally, the scene in Barbie when Margot Robbie starts crying and then she starts freaking out about the fact that she's crying because she doesn't know what crying is and she's never cried before. And she's like having a panic attack, crying, being like, oh my God, what is that? What's happening? Like, what's happening to my body?
First it was
Phenomenal
now and
acting.
the, first it was one, now it's a whole bunch.
She's like, what in the crap is this? Like, phenomenal acting. I completely believe that she had never fucking cried before. Like, completely. That's phenomenal acting. But people are like, oh, well, literally this tweet, and it was from a woman, which I don't know why. And he, like, literally quoted it, pinned it in his article. Like, literally it said, maybe if Barbie had been, like, a more intense character, like, for instance, a sex worker, it would have been more notable. Which is exactly where my problem lies. Because not only in that sentence are you saying that one, women should have any characters that are just women not being freaking abused. Like, yes, you can have a role as a sex worker and it be empowering and wonderful. But I'm sorry, because my mother literally worked in the field of sex trafficking and sex workers and literally like making sure they all have their rights. It is incredibly hard for a lot of them to actually one have their rights and to have the empowering experience that a lot of people like think that they would have. Like, it's incredibly privileged just to be like, oh, maybe she should have been a sex worker. 'Cause like that's not just like a job that you can have. Like, that's like an identity, a life. Like, that is more than a job. And then to just be like, oh, like, I don't know, maybe she should have like played that character. Which kind of goes all the way back to our whole thing with horror movies that we've talked about a lot, of the fact that like women are constantly killed, women are abused, for the plot, not even horror movies,
yep.
for pretty much any movie, except for rom-coms, which is why women tend to like them and spend money on them, is because they're not dying.
Yeah.
Or being,
they get
like, painfully
ending.
Hurt
yeah.
for the guy's, like, character development.
Mm-hmm.
Shallow as it normally is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even character development, it's just motivation.
And when they are torturing these women, right, you know, however it may be, not actual torture, but like you were saying, they do it as a shortcut, as a cheat to make
yeah.
you feel emotional. Like, there's no need for it.
It's just to make you like him.
Yeah. Well, there's no need for that woman to be hurt in any way, aside from literally having it be like the quick 5-10 second, however long the scene may be, moment to just immediately get you to feel emotional about whatever they're trying to get you to feel emotional about, instead of actually putting in the legwork to make the guy likable.
Yeah. Like, don't write an actually fleshed out character.
Mm-hmm.
Just make people feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
My God. So it's like, really? Okay. That's crazy. And then he literally just follows that up with Lily Gladwell, and it's like, yeah, well, Lily Gladwell also got a nomination, but people are just completely forgetting about that fact just so that they can rage about how Margot didn't win or get a nomination for Barbie. And I'm like, dude, even Lily Gladwell herself has literally said how, one, this is a movie made for white audiences. The movie that she is in, she has said, is made for white audiences
mm-hmm.
to get them to care about Indigenous people.
Yep.
She deserves more than that. I'm
yeah.
sorry, but giving her a nomination for a role in which she literally is there to get people to, like, care about another group of people
mm-hmm.
is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she deserves better. She
oh,
deserves
yeah.
better roles. This shouldn't be the only kind of role that she can get in Hollywood.
Yep. I agree 100%.
And then to be like, oh, well, that's an Oscar-worthy performance. Definitely. Definitely should have gotten that nomination because it's a quote-unquote intense role. I'm sorry, but people and women and people of color should not have to be brutalized
no.
on screen in order to get recognized for their work. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a crazy thing to say. I can't believe he actually wrote that in an article. Like, the audacity. Oh my God. Don't tell me more intense roles. Like, no, you actually just hate women. Just say it with your chest. I don't know. He's getting paid to write this shit. Ah! I can't believe that. And that just goes on to just kind of further the point of, like, things that are marketed towards women are generally fucking hated and not taken as seriously.
Mm.
Because, I mean, even if you think about it, like, best actress versus best actor
mm-hmm.
should not exist. There should just be best performance.
Oh. I agree, but women would never get nominated.
Exactly. We literally have to make a subsection.
Yeah.
What is it? There's that quote in Fleabag when that lady wins the Woman in Business Award, and she's like, Woman in Business, that's such a, like, infantilizing term. Because it's ghettoizing.
Mm-hmm.
Ghettoizing in the term of the literal, for
yeah.
those of you that maybe don't know the actual connotation of that word. And, like, it, yes, has now been taken to be, like, slang. But before, ghettos were literally a subsection of, like, housing where they would put people in so that they wouldn't have to be around the general public. A.K.A. the suburbs, A.K.A. rich white people. But yeah, so, like, it's like you're ghettoizing women. You're setting them aside to have their
mm-hmm.
own section and then giving them prizes. And they're like, that's not success. That's a subsection of
yeah.
success. Like, if we actually held things that women did with the same regard as things that men did, we literally wouldn't have two different sections for them. They would be the same section. But yeah. Exactly as you said, if we did have one category, women would never be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
People of color are barely nominated. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is what, the first Oscar year where an openly black man is being nominated for his role as a gay black man in a movie? What? This is the first time an indigenous person ever is being nominated for their acting? Like, ever? Let alone first indigenous woman. Like, come on. This is the first time there's only three movies that are directed by women that are even nominated.
Yeah, I did notice that. I did notice that.
Like, that's insane.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So, yeah. I wanted to talk about all of that. Especially because, like, Valentine's Day. And one of the things that bothers me probably most about Valentine's Day is that it's so, like, coded.
Yeah, it is.
Like, to be one of those things that are like, we want to market, like, towards women. We want to market it towards, like, women's happiness, blah, blah, blah. Galentine's. Do this for your significant other. And you're like, I saw maybe one ad that was a couple that was for two men. And it wasn't even an ad. It was a photo.
Oh.
To advertise a section of shopping for Valentine's.
Yeah.
Just like your SO. And I was like, that's sad. Because majority of the time, even when they do have like queer, even when they do have like queer Valentine's things, most of the time they're women. Because people associate this with women.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Hence Galentine's, because women love love so much that they gotta have another day full of love.
Just for their friends, because we don't need men to feel love and worthy for ourselves, because, you know, before second/third wave feminism, we still needed a man to be relevant. We still apparently do. Because Ken gets nominated for his acting role in Acting Ken, the white misogynistic low-key man that writes the article about how people should stop complaining about Barbie being like, it's not Ken's fault that Ken is the best written character. I don't know, then maybe give the flowers to the person that wrote the character. AKA the woman. Not him. I don't know, man. I don't know. So, like, yikes.
Well, and part of the reason too why Ryan Gosling was cast as Ken was because people didn't really see him as like a romantic male lead.
And which is crazy, because, like, come on.
Yeah, no, I
agree. He's, like, known for that.
Yeah,
I know. He's just considered, quote-unquote, old now.
Yeah.
Which I totally did a TikTok about. People were like, and we're like, that's a little ageist, don't you think?
Yeah. I forgot where I was going with that.
They're like, he can't be a doll, he looks too old. No, dolls are supposed to be young. I was like, guys, that's the point of the movie.
Yeah. Basically, he's nominated for a role that they expected him to fail in, right?
Yeah. Why? Because it's a girly role. It's a girly movie.
It's a girly role. It's a girly movie. That's out of his wheelhouse, supposedly. He's too old.
Dude's funny as hell.
Yeah. But no one's giving credit to the people, the casting director, the director, for actually, quote unquote, taking a chance on such a, quote unquote, risky casting.
Like, I know, right?
They consciously made that decision against everyone's wishes, only to come out and be like, bam, like, I fucking told you shit. So,
A tweet that was like, I can't believe that best actor for this year is gonna be between like Oppenheimer, a guy like super big scientist, bleh, masculine, and Ken from Barbie. And I was like, even the humor in that joke is the fact that that contrast is only unbelievable because one of them is associated with girls and women and girly things.
Yeah.
I was gonna maybe end with a good note, but I don't have one anymore. Now I'm just mad.
I think we could probably just summarize it all and say rom-coms make a lot of money, but due to
We should bring
stupid.
back the rom-com. I really
Yeah.
liked Lost City. That was a good one. Because that one literally almost also just talks about everything that we're talking about.
Yeah. Honestly,
Because.
Lost City was it was highly entertaining and I did like it. It was cookie cutter though.
Yeah.
But that's okay
And
because
it
it's
did it in a
been
way that worked too,
yeah.
because, like, she literally writes romance novels.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that she hates her fan base, which is all women who like romance novels, because she thinks that it's, like, something that. She's being a pick me about it. She's like,
Yeah.
yeah, but that's like a girly thing.
Yeah.
And then for the guy, Channing Tatum, to be like, yeah, but like, I don't know, have you seen how happy they are?
Yes. I just want to make people happy.
And being like, I'm not embarrassed to do this thing that's just for women because they appreciate what I'm doing and I get to actually make people happy.
Yep.
That's crazy. To be bullied as a man for doing something that women
Yeah.
like every other dude that we've mentioned as a lead in rom-com movies. How can you like Timothée Chalamet? He's just skinny. He's not even hot. He's not even attractive. You're mad. And it's not for the reasons you think. It's not. Y'all just really hate women.
Yeah. Story of our lives.
And then even for her to realize, like, oh my God, you're completely right. I literally write things for women. I'm a successful woman, and me being in the lane that I'm in is not detrimental to me as a woman or a business person or a writer. Like, I am still completely, like, what a great character story, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a great little character arc to have in a modern rom-com. And then because she wrote romance books, they got to do all the fun little romantic comedy like
Tropes, yeah.
bits, and
Yeah.
it was fun.
It was. It was.
But yeah, that's all I got. I don't know. You have anything else you want to say, Whitney?
Not that I can think of.
All right.
Aside from
Well,
definitely bring back rom-coms,
yeah.
because that's my favorite type of movie.
I like them too when they're kind of like socially aware and actually kind of like how Shakespeare did it, you know,
I
originally, with the
honestly,
social commentary and the
yeah.
fact that you can just put it into a very bite-sized and digestible story for people to understand, because that literally is what most of them are. Like, you've got Mail, When Harry Met Sally. A lot of them are literally just talking about either social norms,
Yeah.
the constructions of gender in society,
Yeah.
people's roles in society, and the role that love plays in our society. Like, they are literally just talking about our culture and how we form them, and they're either reflecting them or critiquing them, or just trying to figure them out. And this is really the only genre you really get to dive into that is rom-coms.
Yeah. I agree 100%, and I want, like you said, good rom-coms to come back. Once in a blue moon, however, because I like talking about movies and dissecting movies, a bad rom-com, I'm not against. Because then, once again, like kind of like The Bachelor, you can get this online community talking about it and just being like, hey, don't do this shit. This is why it's wrong, right? Because you do need to have that conversation again and again and again. Because we were talking about this with, shit, we did a movie where we talked about it. And then it had a moment like Barbie had where they had like that big speech about what it means to be a woman. It was a very similar moment. And I said I didn't like it because it's all stuff that I knew. And you're like, no, but like that's good. Oh, we were talking about She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
Yeah.
that one got a lot of hate.
Yeah.
They all wanted to say it was because of the graphics, and I was like, this literally, in my, like, looking at it, it looked no different than any other Marvel movie that I had watched.
Yeah. But there was a similar moment in She-Hulk, right? And a lot of people were shitting on it because they're just kind of like, we all know that, like, there's no reason that you have to say it again. Like, it's so boring. Like, why would you beat a dead horse type of thing? And we were talking about how that show isn't made, like, demographic for that show isn't made for the people who already know that. It's made for the demographic of people
exactly.
who don't know that. It's made for young boys who typically are young girls who need it to be spelled out. Because they haven't had to have that discourse before, and it's giving them a launching point. It's making it an accessible conversation for them to have.
Exactly.
So even
which is the power that we have, which is to the detriment of the fact that we hate streaming culture.
Yeah.
One of the good things about it is that it makes so many more things accessible.
Yep.
Like things like this.
Mm-hmm. So I think every once in a blue moon, sometimes a bad rom-com isn't always going to be a bad thing, as long as we can all acknowledge why it's bad and how it can be done better, and then not do it again.
I'm not going to re-go over every single movie that we've already recommended, because that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say, let's do more recommendations.
Uh-huh.
I would say, let's maybe... Oh, we should do like a bracket or something.
Oh, no.
No, not a bracket. We have very different tastes.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say... I wasn't going to say about the men in these movies either.
Okay, well...
Because I was like, that's a lot.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That is a lot of men. I was going to say, like, which rom-com of the ones maybe that we talked about would you want to happen to you?
Oh, no.
And then I realized that's a really hard question.
Well, no, I mean, like, my problem is my answer immediately, as soon as you said it, I knew what my answer was. It was 10 Things I Hate About You, because that's my all-time favorite movie, hands down. The problem is I'm not in high school anymore. And if that actually happens to me in high school, when I was, like, super self-conscious and, like, didn't want anyone looking at me, like, I would have hated my favorite scene in that movie when Heath Ledger
replace it with, like, coworker. No, maybe not coworker. Replace it with, like, you work in a place where there's different departments, and a completely different department dude is, like, Patrick character and your cat.
Okay.
It might work.
It might work. So my answer is 10 Things I Hate About You.
I feel like this is such a logical answer for me, which is typical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 10 Things I Hate About You is probably the one that would work the most for my life, just in general. Do I want that, though? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm sitting with 10 Things I Hate About You, but I just love it so much that I think I would have to still pick it.
Because, like, She's the Man is pretty fun, too.
That is.
I could do She's the Man.
Uh-huh.
If that were my life, if that were to happen to me, I don't know what I would be doing that I would have to compete and then pretend to be a dude for. Actually, there's a lot of things I'd be doing.
Yeah.
That actually, you know what? Yeah. I pick She's the Man.
Okay. That's good.
He's not even mad. He's just like, oh, you're kind of hot.
I think.
And I still like you.
Yeah.
But also, I can't believe you tricked me like that. That's kind of crazy. And I'd be like, I know. But also, we live in a society. I'm just a girl.
I think I've changed my answer. Final answer, Legally Blonde. Mainly because I love the idea of people underestimating me and then me being able to turn around and say, I told you so, look at how smart I am.
All of you guys suck. And get a hot Harvard professor to be like, this girl knows what she's doing.
Yeah, right?
Also, she's pretty, and how dare y'all.
Exactly. Final Snips. Answer. Legally Blonde.
All right, now to binge all of these. Amazing. I love them. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to probably another chaotic episode, but I mean, give us some slack. It's been a while since we've been on the air. We hope you guys all have a good Valentine's month / Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for Black History recommendations, I've made a crap ton of posts about them. So just go to our like Instagram / TikTok, because I've got so much that like I'm not going to repost because like I'm a Black person and I'm tired and I deserve not to have to do that. So y'all can just go and look at the stuff I've already made. Yeah, and if you guys would like more, we are legitimately, we have a lot of things that we're planning for our Patreon. A lot of extra content, which is going to be super, super fun. And probably a little bit more like how this is, a little bit more conversational. So if you're looking for more content, then check us out over there. And, you know, we love your support and for your listening. So yeah, thank you once again. And we will talk to y'all in the next one. Bye.
Bye.